Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, I think we just had our longest pre-production meeting in history. This is what happens when you're at the level that we're at. There's a lot of business to talk through, and there's a lot of potential opportunities flying at us as a podcast, and we had a lot to talk about that's exciting. One of which, Pipe, is this coffee endeavor that we're entering into.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, you've been in the high-level discussions with our roaster, Hector Lagares of Lagares Roasters. He is putting together a blend special for our audience and for our show.
Yeah.
How far away from launch do you feel like we are on that? Are we close?
We are very close. I mean, we're talking within the next week, maybe 2 weeks. It's really the finalization of a handful of details. Mainly on his end, making sure that he is ready to fulfill the demand that we anticipate coming. So we don't want to put it out there and hang him out to dry.
That's right.
But when it goes up, we will be sure to push it out on all of our vast social media empire as well as here. And the other thing is, listeners need to know that because we've been doing this podcast for 2 years, I figured it was about time to actually get our own domain name. So I went and got happyrantpodcast.com. So you can just go there to find anything that we talk about in terms of like ongoing sponsorships and partnerships. So when the coffee thing is finalized, happyrantpodcast.com will be where to go. And I hope it's within a week. It might be a couple weeks.
Great, baby. Thank you for that update, man. That's exciting.
It's exciting. I've seen pictures of what he is working on, and it looks delicious. So I hope it tastes delicious.
It does look and taste delicious. Ooh. I've tasted it. I've tasted many of his different roasting options, and our listeners are going to be pleased, man. They're going to be excited. So also exciting is something else we discussed off camera, as it were. Which is the potential for a little Happy Rant writing conference. We are going to pool our resources and pull together a writing conference like no other. And that's all I'm going to say about it. We don't have a lot of details, but
I'd like to say to the listeners, I know we're a little bit like the boy who cried wolf when it comes to live events, or possibly a little bit like Stephen L. Trogi when it comes to big ideas not coming through in the clutch. It's not for lack of trying. There have been extenuating circumstances repeatedly. The two previous times we talked about it, we are going to get listeners in a room with us to do a live thing sometime in the next calendar year, or in the next 12 months. It's going to happen, and we will overcome our own inabilities previously. So this is a promise that we will do this thing. So we're not just making this up to keep you interested.
Wow, I like it. Big R, are you excited about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to sleep for the next calendar year or whenever
for
we
the next
actually
9.5 to 12 months.
You're a live guy, Big R. You're a conference guy. I mean, you're going to have to work this into your pre-existing conference schedule. So
it's tough. I'm looking at Jared C. Wilson's calendar to see if he has any space, because that's how I judge if I have space, because I like to at least attend 10 or 12 Jared C. Wilson events per year. So it's going to be tough. And again, you guys forget that I have 20 years of live showing it too. So lots of concerts and guys, let me just say that the stage is my second home, and I think me and you've talked about that, Big T, many times. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't think that we're going to have better podcasts than the ones that we actually do live. And in fact, it's going to be hard going back to this after we do them. And that's something that I'm starting to prepare for, the dramatic, letdown that's going to happen between the three of us.
Yeah,
it's going to be big. It's going to be hard.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. It's going to be hard. Absolutely.
Well, boys, we will help each other through that emotionally.
We will.
And speaking of conferences, Pipe, I want to ask you, you were just at a couple of unique conferences, and I want you to lay some stories on us from the road, man, because as we've learned on this program, important people travel, and the more important you are, the more you're traveling. And it would be remiss, it would be irresponsible of us to not share stories from the road. So you were just at two of these confs, and I want to hear about them.
I was in 1 week. I had sort of conference whiplash, and it there was a physical component that was whiplashy because I went from Orlando, Florida to Burbank, California, so about as far apart in the country as you can get. But then in terms of what the conferences were, it was very whiplashy as well. So in the first part of the week, I went to the National Religious Broadcasters Association conference where I was I co-presented on podcasting and using podcasts as part of content marketing, basically. So the National Religious Broadcasters Association is it's all the Christian radio shows, programs, etc., and then all of like the three ring circus that surrounds that. So it's exhibitors like, but it's, I'm trying to think how to describe this. I mean, it's not exhibitors like at another conference where it's like publishers and things like that. There are some of those, but it's a lot of like, it's a lot of Christian films. It's a lot of like people in costumes. I saw a guy walking around in like a full Roman centurion costume.
Wow.
It's a lot of like, hey, is that Tammy Faye Baker? Oh no, wait, I don't know who that person is. It just looks just like her. It's, you know, so it's a lot of that kind of crowd. As my co-presenter said, he's like, if you look carefully, this ground is littered with all the names being dropped here. Cause it's, and then he proceeded to say, I have never heard more people have conversations they wished I overheard.
Wow. That's priceless.
So it's like three piece suits and pocket squares and big hair and the worst smelling cologne you have ever smelled. I mean, it's just, and it's in Orlando. So it's sort of humid and ripe. And
Orlando seems to me to be like the capital city of like people who think they're important, but actually aren't.
But at the same time, it's just kitschy and like plastic. It's almost like the Vegas of the South.
It's like Vegas for children and old people.
It's horrible.
So like, I guess Branson is actually Vegas for old people, but Orlando is like.
Also, Vegas is Vegas for old people.
Yeah, but like Vegas is Vegas for like 30 to 50 year olds.
That's true.
Branson is for the retiree crowd, and then Orlando is like for the people who want Vegas. They want to bring their families to Vegas.
But Orlando has that vibe, though. You know what I mean? Yes. Like it has that sort of veneer, or like there's just like the front and there's nothing behind it, kind of a thing. It always feels that way to me.
Yeah,
and I'm fascinated by like small town radio personalities who like think they're something.
Did
you encounter a lot of this?
Oh, so Ronnie asked me off the air, like, why didn't we all go present on podcasting? And why were we not part of this big broadcasting thing, being that we are a media mogul broadcasting empire? Here's the reason. So I pull up to the hotel where this whole thing is, the Hotel Convention Center, and I park my car in the parking garage, and then I have to take a shuttle because it's 85 degrees and soupy, and I don't want to get all sweaty, and it's also a 15-minute walk to the actual hotel itself. And I'm waiting for the shuttle, and there's these three fairly elderly people there, and they're wearing lanyards because that's what we do at conferences. And so we start chit-chatting about why are we here. And I ask them, and they're like, oh, we run a radio station in North Florida. It's just kind of a small local radio station. And I was like, oh, cool. And they said, what are you here for? And I said, I'm here to present on podcasting. And they go, podcasting? Is that on the internet?
Oh,
no.
Yellow. So there it is.
That explains why the Happy Rant was not invited to be the keynote presenter at the National Religious Broadcaster Association.
That explains why Ted just said yellow.
Because we're on the internets, and that's an unfamiliar concept to maybe sort of the core audience of this crowd.
That's really fascinating, actually. I mean, that Ted, what do you think about that?
I think I want to go to this conference.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It sounds super entertaining. And what I want to do is I want to dress up in the same fashion, in the three-piece suits. And I want to walk around there like I'm a big deal.
With your glasses, and like if you slicked your hair back sort of like think Rick Pitino level shine.
Yes, I want that kind of sheen on my hair.
Or like the Pat Riley mullet from back in the day. Like that,
you would
get some curlers in your hair so it's got some good body to it. You would fit right in.
Kind of vintage Harry Melrose a little bit.
Yeah, Ronnie's too cool for this thing. Like you put Ronnie in a three-piece suit, they're just going to be like, it doesn't still doesn't quite fit.
I'll just look ironic, you guys. It's but cool. This I'll just is, be like, ironic. You
know? Here's the thing. This place is ironic and they don't know it. They're not trying to look ironic.
You know what, man? We keep talking about like our conference and our live podcast, and I think what you need to be working on, Pipe, is getting us booked at this thing next year.
Well, if you'd like, would you like to know how much I got paid to be there?
I mean, I'm afraid to ask, but okay.
Well, not anything. So,
a lot of build up there.
Yeah. So, let's. Yeah. I'm not.
Like how you phrased it. Not anything.
Not any.
You
money.
Could have said nothing. You said not anything.
It's more elegant that way.
That's significant. Yeah. That's significant the way you phrased that, Piper. Not anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was the first couple of days in the week. I proceeded to board a Southwest flight from there to Vegas. Speaking of Vegas, where I changed planes and worked my way around all of the slot machines in the airport to fly to Burbank, California, where it is the exact opposite, because it was the Shepherd's Conference hosted by John MacArthur's church. So here's a snapshot of this conference. I'm standing at the table for our publisher, B&H Academic. You know, we're selling commentaries and different things, and I overhear a conversation between two pastors, and one of them says to another and says, he says, "Hey brother, how are you?" And the other guy says, "Man, just preaching the word." And the first guy says, "Oh, you better be." And then they laughed and walked away.
Nice.
And I don't like that. That's so bizarre to me.
That sounds like a really good talk, man.
Is that a friendship? Like, is that, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's a,
how are you preaching the word? You better be.
That's a frenemesis.
I don't even know what. Yeah, that it is a thing. I'm not sure what it is, but there was lots of chinos, lots of tucked in polo shirts.
I mean, was there literally? I mean, I have two questions for you, Pipe, before you go on. Number one, was there a pair of jeans even in existence?
Oh, absolutely.
Like at the conference? And number two, at what point did Drisky come in and like promote his next book and cause a bunch of like?
Well, he moved to Arizona because that's where people go when they retire from the spotlight. Right. And I was thinking about selling his books out of the back of my rental car just for fun. but given that I was already employed there, it seemed like a poor idea. The jeans thing, absolutely. But this is like, think like 65-year-old pastors being casual. So the shirt remains the same as the one that goes with slacks, but you swap in like a pair of Levi straight legs in sort of that light stone wash.
Yes, light stone wash with a yellow polo and a sport jacket.
Sport jacket's optional. They wore those in the mornings, because possibly a sweater vest, and then like white walking shoes. Lots of ill-fitting baseball caps as well, because people are they're on vacation. They're casual.
Well, they're going to be playing some golf. Golf is part of the agenda.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But all the speakers at this conference are dressed to the nines. I mean, we're talking like pristine pinstripe suits. Like, they are crisp. Absolutely. And professional. The last night of the conference, they have like a full orchestra. I will say this.
It's a Ligonier conference for the West Coast.
Ligonier. But like, I think it's a bit judgier than that. These guys walk around and like, you feel kind of afraid standing behind the publisher table, because you know they're going to attack something on your table. Like, oh, you guys publish that? That guy's trash, you know, that kind of thing. So it's there's a flavor of that. I will say this. I had a couple very surreptitious conversations with Happy Rant listeners. But it was like they kind of pulled me aside behind like a pillar outside the church, and they were like, "Psst, come here." You know, kind of thing. And they're like, "I just wanted you to know I listen to the Happy Rant and I really like it.
But please don't tell Johnny Mac."
Why were they whispering? What is there to be ashamed of here?
It's not the crowd that would be the most open-minded to what we do. They not a lot of fun being had. I think they had to tread very lightly so as not to be judged or attacked or something. But it was just very funny, because it was like I'm one of you too. Like, we had to pass a secret card back and forth or something. So that was – I enjoyed hearing from them. So secret listeners, we appreciate you. You brightened my 3 days in California.
That's sweet.
Also, California is just way better than Florida, just as a state. It's not even close. It's just
It's Florida without humidity and
mountains and beaches with actual waves. And,
yeah, it's an interesting place.
So that was my week, those two conferences. One decidedly unreformed, one angrily reformed. Just also.
I mean, I would say, you know, here's what I struggle with, and I'm just going to go there for one second. I mean, the fact that McCarth is like reform but also dispensational, you know, I always like to qualify his reformness a little bit. I know I shouldn't do that, and I'm already we're losing listeners. There's people like clicking not unsubscribe and all that stuff right now. But it's like I'm always kind of fascinated by how he has been able to sort of like ride those two things of one which does not fit in with the other. You know what I mean? So it's that those two things are super weird, how he can be all left behind series and simultaneously be like, you know, the institutes, you know, and I'm just that one kind of gets me, and I've never figured that one out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a hammer, everything's a nail, and doggone it, he's a hammer and he is just going to make it fit.
Well said.
Oh, Johnny.
Well said.
Johnny.
Well, boys, speaking of California, the land of sunshine and entertainment, I want to do
and
a
John
little
McCarthy.
Bit of a, and John McCarthy. Exactly. I put that under the label.
Who is neither sunny nor entertaining?
It depends who you ask. I want to do a little bit of a movie debrief. We frequently talk about movies on here, but there are a couple of movies that have the evangelical world up in arms for various reasons, and I want to talk about them. But I want to preface this with an experience that I had recently. I was on a panel here at the university in which we viewed all 11 hours of Martin Scorsese's film Silence, and then talked about it.
It only seemed that way, Ted.
It only seemed that way. It only seemed like 11 hours of agony. It was actually nearly 3 hours. And very different movie, different even for Scorsese. Scorsese's pictures, I realize I'm a respecter of what he does. Like, I sort of allegedly love Goodfellas and I allegedly love Raging Bull, but I really only ever want to watch like the first halves of those movies over again. And I think it's because Scorsese does a really good job of showing the wages of people's sins. I mean, I think as a filmmaker and as a Christian viewer, like this is what you're sort of invited to appreciate about Scorsese in the past. But this one was just tough to watch, man. There was no soundtrack, no traditional soundtrack, no sort of auditory cues as to what to feel. And they left the whole thing just very ambiguous in terms of, you know, kind of anything hopeful being there. But Pipe, you had a couple of movies that you wanted to talk about that are decidedly less thinky and like beard stroking.
Well,
let me ask you about
Silence. So Silence is a movie I have felt sort of low grade guilt for not seeing, because apparently it's the movie that every self-respecting intellectual Christian is supposed to have donated our money to.
Real quick, it's like, don't complain about Christian movies without seeing Silence.
Right.
You know what I mean?
As if Silence solved all of the problems created
it solved
by every
all
other
the
trash
problems.
Christian movie.
It solved everything.
Right.
It solved the resurrection of Gavin Stone. Solved.
And every Kendrick Brothers movies and all of the others. But I think I would pay the same amount of money not to see that movie as if I was forced and they were like, no, you're giving your $12. Like, fine, here's $12 not to watch that. That's my effort. Yeah. Should I feel guilty for not seeing it or am I absolved from my guilt?
You should absolutely not feel guilty for not seeing it. And here's why, Pipe. I mean, I think for a movie to be a movie, there has to be some modicum of enjoyment in it. And that's not to say that every movie has to be a comedy or every movie is a love story or every movie has, you know, an ice cream and puppy dogs kind of happy ending, but there has to be something enjoyable about it. And I think with the other Scorsese pictures that I mentioned, Raging Bull and Goodfellas, there were a lot of things to enjoy about those two movies, even though they were kind of difficult and even though they were gritty and they were hard and whatever, there's stuff that I enjoy about them. And with silence, there's really nothing to enjoy. It's just 3 hours of difficult. And I think the level at which you're invited to enjoy it is to enjoy your own kind of beard stroking pontification that happens after the movie, which is totally well and good. I mean, that's, you know, I'm in the Academy. That's what we do. Like, we do that for a living. But were it not for sort of being invited to do that professionally, I wouldn't have seen the movie either.
Hmm. Okay. That helps me feel better. I was a little bit, I don't know. I just was carrying around this. It's a very small burden, but a burden nonetheless, sort of like one of those annoying things that gets stuck, you know, like in your pocket kind of size burden carrying around. And now I can discard it and not worry about it. And I will not be seeing Silence. Okay. So, apparently there's a movie coming out called The Shack. You may have heard of it. I don't know. You're not on social media, Ted, so you may not have seen all the outrage.
Believe it or not, I have heard of it, but I have not seen all the outrage. I haven't seen the extent of the outrage.
So it's a film adaptation of the book that was equally as controversial several years ago, maybe whatever, 9 or 10 years ago now. To me, this is exhibit 3,422 of how Christians are the best marketers for stuff that we hate. Yeah. Because there are more hot takes on why this is a trash movie, which I'm certain it is a trash movie. I have no interest in seeing it whatsoever. But I tweeted out something and I said the best marketing for The Shack is all the Christians who are angry about The Shack. And the deluge of responses I received that were like, but it's heresy. And I just wanted to be like, see, you are the problem. Like, you are not the solution to anything. And then I had people come back and they're like, shouldn't pastors be telling people to avoid this falsehood? No. Like, no, I don't. Like, Ronnie, are you going to stand up and tell your people not to go see The Shack?
No.
Are you going to address it in any way, shape, or form?
I don't know.
Okay, but it's not a thing that's like burdening you with, I have to protect people from this.
No, it's not. And I think, I mean, again, to bring up a larger point, it's like, I think, you know, it's interesting that we just pick and choose what we're offended by, you know, in movies. You know, it's like nobody's, you know, where was the, you know, where's the outrage, you know, when a movie comes out that's like ultra violent, or a movie that comes out that is like, you know, like promoting certain ideals that don't just bother us quite as much, but they're equally as damaging. We just pick and choose. And so, again, I didn't read the book. I just don't have a lot of general interest in it personally. I get the premise of it. I know what it's about. But I think it's just like anything else, right? Don't we just tell people to be discerning? And if it's something that's going to either lead them to a place that's unhealthy, you know, then, you know, just be on guard and don't see it then. Or if it's something that's going to warp your theology, then we probably should have a conversation about where your theology is at anyway, if it's going to have that easy of an effect on your theology. I don't know.
But, and I feel like if a pastor is consistently doing their job, they will have fed people enough truth to get a sense for like what's BS. Sure. You know, and I realize that's a sliding scale. Some people are more mature, some people are more immature. I guess I just – if we would let sleeping dogs lie, they wouldn't get up and raise a racket like this kind of stuff. It's just I don't understand people's like – it's like this terrified, fearful response that this is going to be the movie that brings the church to its knees. At least that's the sense that I get. And I'm not terribly afraid of The Shack. So that was one. I just kind of wanted to, like, it. Have you, Ronnie, have you seen people freaking out about this or writing their hot takes or like describing the heresies of the Trinity or whatever's in there? I don't even know what's in there because I haven't read it.
No, I haven't really seen. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've just seen the articles that were posted. I guess the thing that's been closest to me, you know, in terms of it being, you know, anything near, anything tangible, was one of my community group leaders said, you know, it came up last Wednesday, and you know, a few of the people in that particular community group were super hyped about it, loved the book, couldn't wait to see it, and so it caused like a big ruckus and a big argument, you know, in the community group, and so that's as close as I've gotten to any sort of like, you know, disruption.
See, I guess my, like, if I was in your shoes or if I was in that community group leader's shoes, our ruckus is not going to convince those people not to like it. It's just going to make them dig in their heels. Like I take Christians who are outraged about stuff like this less seriously, not more. If somebody was willing to say, what did you like about it, and actually converse about it, that's a different issue. I don't know. It's just exhibit number 3000 and change of how Christians freak out about stuff and then cement it in the public's consciousness.
No, I totally agree. I think, yeah, and I'm totally with you on that. The only thing that I think that could be potentially dangerous, and again, I haven't heard anything like this, is somebody that watches it and starts to reevaluate their theology and says, well, you know, maybe how do we know that God, you know, isn't, you know, a woman, and, you know, starts bringing up those kinds of things. I mean, I haven't come into contact with any of that. I kind of don't think I will. If it, you know what I mean? For it to get that serious means you might have to address something like that, you know, but
how come we don't worry when people like read or watch The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe that they're going to think God is an animal?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I saw somebody tweet something similar to that. I don't remember who it was. I shouldn't take credit for coming up with that thought. It wasn't my own. But it just sort of made me chuckle because I'm like, yeah, there's a valid response to that question, but it's not a quick response. Like it's, oh, yeah, there are ways to represent truth. And I'm not saying that The Shack does because I don't know what it's about. I'm just saying there's these knee-jerk reactions like God's not a woman. Yeah, God's not a lion either. You know, so it's – there's some complexity here.
Yeah, I think it's just, again, it's, you know, I think for some people that have a very, very thin veneer in terms of their, you know, theological convictions, you know, something like this, because it really, really just digs into, you know, people's emotions more than anything. Yeah, I mean, it could be something that you might want to address. I'm not saying in terms of starting an argument, you just might want to bring up some things for people to be aware of if they're just in a place theologically where they're not discerning enough, and just say, well, look, just so you know, see the movie, but be discerning. And this is kind of what it's saying. And this is how it does not vibe with scripture, you know, in so many ways that you might think it does. But hey, you know, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't go see it and you shouldn't be discerning and guarded. You know, I don't know.
So you're not going to boycott it?
Well, I'm not a boycotter. I'm not a political preacher. I don't do that. I don't play those games. I don't talk about that stuff. I mean, you know what? I'm not saying I would never bring. I haven't really thought about it much. You know what I mean? So I have not heard one person personally come to me and ask me any question from the congregation about The Shack or anything related to it. So again, the first thing I heard was about that community group thing. So that makes me think. Well, shoot, you know, I mean. Does something need to be said, but how do you say it? And I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not going to start tweeting about it. So
you know what? I'll say it for you, Big R. Are you ready?
Yeah. Throw it out there for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to say it for you. Don't see the movie because I'm sure it sucks. And don't read the book because I know it sucks because I read it. There you go.
Did you read it, Big T?
I read it like, I don't know, 10 years ago. I don't know, whenever it came out. But
hey, by the way, before you, because I want to hear your, like, give us a quick, like, tiny sentence summary on it. But the other thing I want to ask you, Pipe, was, was that book released in the CBA? Did it look like come out on a Christian publisher or what?
I think it was, no, it was like a small no-name publisher.
Like a self-published
publisher. Thing. Yeah, and it took off because of recommendations from some big like artists and other authors and stuff.
Yeah, dude, it went gangbusters.
It was just, it was a word-of-mouth marketing phenomenon. Like there was no pop behind that book.
Okay, all right.
Which drives Christian publishers mad because they're like, why can't we do that with our books? Maybe because we don't publish enough heresy.
Well, yeah. I mean, we publish plenty of heresy.
Oh, right. Sorry, my bad. What was I thinking?
I'm getting all Shepherd's Conference on you here for a minute. But, T, what did you think of the book? Like, just give us like a two-sentence thing on it. Do you even remember it?
Yeah. It was just poorly written dreck that was like man creating God in man's own image.
Right.
And it sucked for that reason. You know, that's truly all I can remember about it. At all. You know, okay. it just there's no reason to see it, you know, because it's not going to be good because the story is no good. It's just not going to be a good movie.
But it hit a nerve with Pete. There's something at its emotional core that really hit a nerve with
it. It hit a nerve with people because it's God as, you know, your cosmic drinking buddy who just affirms all your decisions, you know. Right. And I think, of course, that hits a chord with people. That's how people want to reimagine God. And I get it. You know, I guess I get the appeal in that, and I get why it did so well. But yeah.
So, Pipe, do you see any potential danger like in that?
No more than all the other crap that's out there right now. Like, it's just, it's more of the same. The thing that confuses me is why this draws ire. But, like, there are books that say the same thing. There are lame TV shows. There's TV preachers. Everybody's creating God in their own image in heretical ways all the time in the entertainment world. And so this is just sort of like, oh, another one of those. And if we would just let it be, it would just sort of fall into the same sort of health, wealth, preacher garbage that's already out there. And I'm not saying that's not a thing to be dealt with, but it's not a thing to be like, we don't need to rise up and wage another crusade against it.
Yeah, and I hear you. Yeah.
So I don't
know. We have just a couple of minutes left for one more thing. And I'm just going to read this directly off my show notes, as it appears on my show notes. And I just want to hear the two of you riff on this. And
I don't remember what's in the show notes. This terrifies me.
This appears on the show notes because of how Pipe, I think, put it in the show notes. And it simply reads this: Gay Beauty and the Beast. Gay Beauty and the Beast. So thankfully, my kids have aged out of, like, I don't know, like really being super into animated movies. So I'm going to avoid this whole phenomenon just because I don't have to be a part of it.
It's a beautiful new season in your life, isn't it, Big T?
It's a nice season. It's a season that I'm enjoying very much.
Yeah, it's nice. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for the rest of your life.
But Pipe, you have girls. You have girls in the house who are going to want to see Gay Beauty and the Beast. So I want to hear you talk about it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they want to see Beauty and the Beast. Apparently, based on the outrage and boycotts, it is a gay movie. I didn't realize this. Apparently,
it's a gay movie. Like what? Like Philadelphia is a gay movie, or like Milk? I mean, how? Where are we talking here?
Right. If you listened to the outraged fundamentalist crowd, it is gayer than any of those. Like it is like a gay bar on film, apparently. However, based on what I've actually read and observed, I think it's an instance where there are, you know, there's the character Gaston, who's sort of the villain, the big strapping, strong, handsome devil, and then he has sort of this weakling sidekick whose name I can't remember. It's probably a French name. Who is very swooning over him, so smitten by him. And apparently some people have said it's very overt, some people have said it's less so, more subtle. He's very much in love with Gaston, and since it's this, you know, so there's all these articles about Disney coming out of the closet and whatever. I'm like, if you didn't know Disney supported gay people before now, where have you been? So, you know, calls for boycotting and how could you take your kids to this and those kinds of things. I guess Ronnie made a good point when we were texting about this before the show about what did you say, Ron? It was about the original version of the movie.
If that was kind of your premise, wasn't that contained in the animated feature?
That's right. You're like, oh, well, then it was a gay cartoon, too. Because that character was also like swooning over Gaston. So this one has more made me chuckle than anything, because I do intend to take my kids to see it because they will love it and it looks like a really well done movie. So I have two questions for people who are angry about this. Does it bother you more that there's a gay person in it, or that a woman falls in love with somebody who looks like a buffalo? And do you boycott your family reunions where your gay uncle is? Those are my questions for the people who are angry about this, because it just feels like another sort of gross overreaction.
Mm. Yeah, what I don't understand is why do we – it kind of goes back to what we talked about a minute ago. Why do we get to pick and choose? You know, like why – and I'm being totally serious about this. Why does the Christian community not rise up and be really, really passionately – angry and concerned about like the greed of Michael Douglas from Wall Street, which is like something that if you go to Galatians 5, right, like all of these like really, really just divisive and destructive sins in our hearts and in our lives wreak, you know, a lot of equal havoc. But like we don't tend to get as excited and is angsty about all of them equally. You know, we pick the ones that we're all super angsty about, whereas things like, I don't know, I just keep going back to greed, probably because I'm greedy. But like, we don't really get that angsty about things such as that, which in most people's lives are probably more destructive. You know what I mean? But we're not going to, we're literally not going to go like ban a movie because the lead character tends to be a little too greedy. That's not going to bother us.
Yeah.
Or but like, why? Why doesn't
or
that bother
violent
us?
Or whatever.
Or violent. Yeah. We don't make a big deal about violence usually now. That's just par for the course. A little golfing analogy there for you boys, some sports. But, yeah, so I just – to me, it's there's a part of it that is just – I don't know why that we have our – you know, we have sort of our hobby horses here.
Is it because it's
sin?
A kid's movie? Like there – so we're – the danger is exposing children to this sort of, you know, quote-unquote terrible thing. And I just – maybe that's it, that they're like, oh, they're indoctrinating children. You think that's it?
I guess, but why do? But why is it cool? I mean, I'm just being. I mean, I'm not trying to be all like funny, but like, why is it cool? Why are we cool with like Lego Batman going around like literally like kicking the tar out of everybody? Like, why is that somehow okay? You know what I mean? Like you're not telling your daughters like, hey, you know, like how you saw Lego Batman, you know, like what you saw him do to the Joker. Like, I want you to go to school on Monday and like do that, man. Do that. Just like go off. Like if that kid ever, you know, well, you kind of already did. I think you already did that, Piper. You already had your daughter like beat the tar out of somebody.
Oh, I encouraged her to because the guy threatened her life. So I said, if he threatens your life again, you get to knock him down. And
I mean, I guess Mark Owen just completely just literally delete everything I just said. But you guys, you know what I'm saying though. Like why is that not as big of a deal? Why do we choose our worst sins? You know what I mean? When in essence, I think there are things that are equally as destructive that we don't give any play to. We don't validate in terms of them or taking them seriously as the Bible would take them seriously.
Yeah.
You know? And yet they're listed in the same list. And again, I'm not trying to be that guy, but like, and I'm not, neither am I trying to say like, just, you know, wipe the slate clean on any movie that you go see. Again, you know, have discernment and all those types of things, especially with your kids. But I just don't know why we have decided what's bad, what's worse, and what's the worstest. You know?
Yeah. It's I understand wanting to protect your kids from things, but if your child has not encountered gay people before now, like, where do you live? That's like, who are you related to? That is such an ever-present reality of life now. If you're listening to the radio news, if you're watching TV and your kids are in the room, like, it's everywhere. And so it's being offended that it's in a kid's movie. I mean, it's being offended that water is wet. Like, it just, that's everywhere. So you can withdraw from everything, or you can teach your kids how to navigate stuff if they even raise the question. Most of them will not.
Yeah. Hollywood is not being run by evangelical Christians right now. You know what I mean?
Wait, but they don't have the same ethics and morals we do. I don't understand.
But I mean, it's just so funny when you think about it. It's like we're talking about an industry that is decidedly, you know, not concerned with anything that you know Scripture has to say about life. So it's like, well, I mean, I don't know why we get outraged by these things when it's like, you know, water is wet and the sky is blue and the sun is hot, and like, why are we shocked that Hollywood is Hollywood? You know.
I don't know.
Big T, you're real quiet right now, and I'm a little. It's unnerving.
Did
me.
He
What's
sign
up?
Off?
No, I'm here. I'm just quiet because you guys are talking a lot.
You're eating right now, aren't you? What are you eating, Big T?
Baby, I'm not eating anything. I've been crunching ice through the program because I've got a nice cup of ice here.
Ooh, what kind of ice is it? Like, is it like the Chick-fil-A like little ice pellets, or is it like,
dude, that's the premium. That is absolutely
that's
the
premium rule. Ice. That's the kind of ice we're only going to serve at our conferences. I'm just letting you know that.
Absolutely.
Right now.
We're going to have the little pellets of Chick-fil-A evangelical ice.
We're only just going to sell ice too, no liquid, just ice. We're going to sell it's going to be expensive too.
That's vintage. I mean, it's like artisan ice. We're going to have
we're going to have them in like leather wooden cups. It's going to be like $8 per cup of ice.
$8 per cup of ice. We're going to have a hipster like chipping it off a huge like old-fashioned block of ice like that they used to deliver with those big
kind of like Yeah, like you know? Exactly with a pick, like with a vintage
pick. With a vintage pick, he's going to chisel off these little – each one is a little artisan creation.
I mean, keep talking, boys. I'm just typing all this in right now for ideas.
On your typewriter.
Yeah.
obviously on my typewriter, but I have it muffled so that you can't hear all the click.
Ding.
Yep. Yep. I like it. Boys, I have nothing to say about Gay Beauty and the Beast other than just to be amused by the conversation. So, I've enjoyed the convo very much. And I also have to go, which is why I'm kind of being coy about my feelings vis-a-vis Gay Beauty.
I'm glad you have to go because I really want this program to end, number one. And number two, I would like to say something nice about Mission Award. Do you guys have anything on that?
You just said you want to say something nice about me. So go for it.
When I said you, I meant like you, like not.
Here's what I'll say about Mission Wear. I'm enjoying all of my swag very much.
Yes.
I like the coffee mug. I love the Yeti tumbler. I'm enjoying the pint glasses very much. And the Mission Wear is a great company.
And the Moleskine is nice too.
I don't know. What's that?
I said the Moleskines are nice too.
Dude, I'm loving the Moleskine. I'm using the Moleskine right now. As soon as we wrap up, I'm going to a thing where I'm going to be using the Moleskine. So it's a part of my life. This company, Missional Wear, is a part of the fabric of my day-to-day life. And
Missional Wear is life.
I couldn't be more grateful for Missional Wear. I'm just going to say it that clearly.
Yes. I carry the Yeti tumbler, which – I didn't realize when they send it to us that it's like twice the size of a normal like coffee or travel mug. It can hold like 40 ounces of coffee, which it's improved my life by at least 100% for the mornings because I now have twice as much coffee with me and it keeps it warm all day and it looks amazing. They did a really, really good job with it. So people should go check that out.
Yeah, my wife is drinking many cups of coffee out of her Happy Rant like Missional Wear coffee mug. I mean, I think Missional Wear has done what no other company can do in the lives of our lives, which is become our life.
The lives Missional of Wear, our lives. That was super. That was multi-layered.
Hashtag Missional Wear is life.
Boys, can you imagine how money it's going to be to drink our Happy Rant blend, signature blend coffee? Out of a Happy Rant coffee mug. That's going to be happening. That will be.
I can envision no greater pleasure literally in this world.
Yeah. I've done it actually. I can tell you that I've done it because I'm a close personal friend of Hector Lagares.
That's
our guy. That's our guy.
He's the coffee roaster. And if that, I mean,
dude, when you say coffee, you can't say coffee without saying Hector Lagares after.
Ron, because the two things are synonymous. And I want to tell you how pleasant it is to sip our branded coffee out of our own branded coffee mugs.
I don't know why you keep saying coffee. You mean our branded Hector Lagares out of your Hector Lagares mug? Is that what you mean to say, Big T?
In so many words, yes, that is what I mean to say.
I need to go to Tim Hortons right now and get a cup of Hector Lagares.
Yeah, you'll be doing that in a few years. I have no doubt because we are going to launch this man. We're going to launch the coffee. And it will replace Starbucks. Starbucks will be an afterthought in 10 years. It'll be a distant memory.
We're coming for you. We're coming for you, Howard Schultz. We're coming.
That's right. We're coming for you, Starbucks, your little mom and pop sad sack coffee shops. We're coming for you. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kainos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kainos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast. Bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.